All right, tonight I'd like to invite you back over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verse 1 this time. Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verse 1. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. We do thank you again for the privilege of assembling together this evening. And Lord, being reminded where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. And so we thank you for your presence. We ask for your blessing and for the guidance of the Holy Spirit to open up our hearts and minds and to guide us into your truths tonight. Lord, may you build our faith for your honor and glory. May we be found faithful when you return. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title this evening is simply Understanding the Heart and Mind of God. And that's what the Lord was really revealing here to disciples as well as all those that were there. And we see here that there were Pharisees and scribes as well as publicans and sinners. And they came to hear him. I think the Pharisees had some other ideas, and they were complaining somewhat in this text here. But tonight we'll see that the Lord is all about repentance, restoration, and redemption. That's what the Lord wants for everybody. No matter where they're at, where their hearts and minds are at, God wants to restore each and every one of us. So this, of course, is if we're willing to follow the Lord and the mercy and grace of God. And of course, there are those in this particular case, the Pharisees, that were looking to establish their own righteousness, and therefore they missed the Lord. Even though they heard the same message, they did not see what the Lord was doing. We're going to back up a little bit here to chapter 14. We're going to kind of keep this all together. And verse 25 in Luke 14, we're going to see the test of discipleship, and then we're going to see the Pharisees murmuring that we just read just a moment ago, and then the Lord's parable and addresses that he gives here to the people that were gathered together. So look at verse 25 with me of chapter 14, and look what it says here. It says, "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them." So here are these great multitudes are gathered together. And notice what he says here. "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Boy, if he wasn't popular before, he's certainly not gaining popularity by the statement that he made, but he is being very truthful and upfront. To be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is different than to be a disciple of the world and of the devil. Before we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we were children of the devil. We weren't really children of God. Now, God loves us, right? We're his creation. But he says that the lost person is of their father, the devil. And so that's really where we were headed towards until the Lord intervened on our behalf. And then he gives us an opportunity. See, the devil, here's what the devil does. The devil will offer all his best up front because he cannot coax you with what's to come if we follow him, right? If the lost world sells out to the devil, this is the best that they're going to have. And the worst is yet to come for them in eternity in hell. But with the Lord puts out the worst before us, and the best is yet truly the best that's unspeakable. Really, we don't even comprehend it until we see it. The human heart and mind can't conceive what God has in store, which is wonderful. So the Lord says, this is the worst of it right up front. Isn't that good? Don't you like people to tell you this is let you know everything that's taking place right here. Let's not keep anything hidden. And that's the Lord. That's what he's all about. And notice verse 25 again, it says, "And there went a great multitudes with him, and he turned and said to them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." So what does he mean there? Does he really mean for you and I to hate, let's have a bad relationship? Is that what the Lord is about? No. What he's saying is it's a comparative situation right there. Compared to your love for them, it can't be better than your love for me, right? So in other words, he's saying you have to love God more than anybody else. And believe it or not, that can stop some people. There are some people that love maybe their spouses, or they love their children or some relative that would hinder them from walking uprightly before the Lord. In other words, you know, we can't be all things to all men. We can't do that. We can't be what lost people, especially if some of our family members are lost. I had lost people tell me, "Oh, you don't have to do that. You don't have to." And they didn't understand. I wanted to go to church. I want to read my Bible. Amen. I want to be in communion with my God. But the lost world says, "Oh, listen, you don't have to give God that. They don't know the Lord, right?" But they're going to tell. See, now if I try to befriend them and I say, "Oh, okay, I'm going to make you happy," I'll make God unhappy. Amen. If I put them before my God, or if I put the love of my family before my God, then I'm not worthy. The Lord is telling me to be his disciple. I have to keep him first. Amen. Is that the truth? We have to keep him first. And so no matter what, Lord, my loyalty is not to myself even. My loyalty is to you, and it's definitely not to anyone else more than you. And so that's really what the Lord is saying. And then he says this here, if you'll think about this, verse 27, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Now, what is the cross when we consider? Some would say, well, it's trials, it's hardships, it's challenges for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that will all fit fine. But really, what the cross is, if you stop and think about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross, he was falsely accused, was he not? He was falsely accused. If we serve the Lord, the world will falsely accuse us, won't they? Yes. They will. Listen, the world will try to turn things around and try to say that we are unkind, we are hateful people. And the truth of the matter is, we love people to tell them that if you don't turn from your sins and trust and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to pay the penalty for your sin debt. And yes, there is a hell that burns, that's hot. The Bible says it's a place of outer darkness. There's a place where there's torment and pain, and there's no relief. Remember, the rich man asked just for a drop of water just to get some relief. Can you imagine that? You and I would say a drop of water will do nothing when you're in fire. But he was so desperate. See, you and I do not understand the desperation that he was in, that he was even willing to be satisfied for a brief fraction of a moment to have that much relief in the place where he was at. So you and I are a blessing to tell people that, listen, if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you will pay for all of your sins in eternity forever in a place called hell. That's their choice. But you and I would not be their friend to say, "Oh, listen, it doesn't matter what you believe. God doesn't punish anybody." Is that the truth? That would be that. And then they would wake up in hell. And what do you think? What do you think they would think about us? They would say, "They, of all people, lied to me." Well, we're not going to do that. And by the way, so the cross, when you think about the cross, and the Lord went to the cross, he was falsely accused, and he was put to shame, wasn't he?
Yes.
So likewise also, the cross will put us to shame. But we need to stand bold before the Lord by the grace of God. We need to stand for him and be willing to be put to shame and be willing to maybe be rejected by the world. See, we cannot be the friends of the world and the friends of God, can we? The Lord says we can't do that. And so that is bearing the cross. We are taking sides, and we would rather take sides with our Savior than with the world that has rejected God and is at enmity with the Lord and is under the rule and direction of the devil himself. And so we're not friends with the devil. We don't listen. What the world says is right, we don't agree with. And that's taking up our cross. And we need to boldly stand. When somebody would tell us something that is against the things of God, we must stand bold if we are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must say, "No, that's not the truth. This is what the truth is." And mark it down. You don't have to seek it out. The world will see to mark us if we're faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is what he's saying. If you're going to follow me, the Lord is saying, your loyalty must be to me. And he says, let me just tell you what it's all about. You cannot love anybody more than you love me. Amen. Because if that's the case, then we won't follow the Lord. Even if we love ourselves. In fact, we can't even love ourselves more than we love the Lord. We have to deny ourselves. Amen. And so the Lord says that deny anybody else
the place that God deserves alone, and even yourself, and then also pick up the cross that may bring suffering. It brought the Lord suffering, didn't it? It may bring shame. It will bring reproach. It will bring reproach. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, mark it down. You cannot cherry coat it. You cannot, make it palatable for the world unless they're seeking the truth. That's the only way it's going to happen. So mark it down. It's not that we go out and try to purposefully be abrasive. We are to go out in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the right way to say. If you look at what the Lord is saying, he doesn't come across condemning, because the world's already condemned. He says the Son of Man didn't come to condemn, but to turn people to righteousness. And so likewise, you and I, we would talk to people and converse with them, and the wise approach is, well, let me ask you, what do you think eternity is about? Let them say what they want to say. But then you and I have the obligation and the privilege to say, well, if what you're believing is not the truth, would you want to know? Yes. And of course, I would dare say most people will want to know. And if they want to know, we ought to open up the Bible. That's being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. See, listen, it's one thing to talk about the lost. It's another thing to talk to the lost. Do you see the difference? We can talk about the lost all day. Yes, they're lost. They need to be saved. But no difference is made in their lives until we start talking to them personally. And we start saying to them, as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, let me show you what the Bible says. And we would have them read the Romans Road. And if the Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And as the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we ask them, now, what does that mean to you? We allow the Holy Spirit to work in their lives and to say, hey, obviously God says that there's none righteous, that we've all fallen short. And then we can tell them the good news that God came into the world to save us. And that if we by faith put our faith and trust in Him, we will be saved. Isn't that good? And that's what the Lord is asking us to do. So we have to be loyal to the Word of God and present the truth in all love, so that they might be receptive and understand their position and their plight in this world without the Lord Jesus Christ. They're headed towards condemnation, and they have to make a decision. We cannot force that on them. But they need to make that choice, and they can make all the excuses they want to. That will be between them and the Lord. But the Lord will make it perfectly clear to them that He came and died, and they have a choice to make. See, we want to present them with that choice, that they might know for themselves the personal salvation for their lives by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what it means to be a disciple and carry the cross. And I promise you, not people may be cordial and kind, but they will also reject the Lord because they love their sin and they love darkness more than they love the Lord. That is going to happen. But you and I have the privilege of telling people about the grace of God, amen, that you and I have received. We are not their judge. They might think that, but we are not their judge. In fact, they will judge us. Yes. And they will maybe condemn us. But that's the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. And what's important for you and I is to be in a place where God has our heart, where we will be willing to witness. Here's a good question. You don't have to, this is between you and the Lord. When was the last time we opened up the Bible and presented the gospel message to anybody? When was the last time? And if not, then we need to ask ourselves, where is my witness? We can have the best of intentions, but until we start opening up the book and confronting people with their need for salvation, they'll never know. They will never know. We can get busy here and we can get busy there. And I promise you, God promises us, there's nothing more important than presenting the gospel anytime you and I get an opportunity. And you don't have to be a preacher to do that. Listen. Preachers are not in your realm all the time. Whatever your realm is, God has placed you there as a witness for His honor and glory. Amen. And He says, if you're going to be a testimony, you're going to meet people and confront people I will never see. And likewise, I will do the same people you will never see. And so God has caused us and called us to be the light in our world. Amen? Amen. That means wherever we live, and we don't have to, it doesn't have to be a negative thing, but we do have to ask the Lord for a heart for salvation for the souls of mankind. Lord, give me a heart. You say, listen, aren't you glad somebody had a heart to tell you about it and point you to the truth? And so we have a privilege to tell others. And so the Lord says, listen, you're going to have to pick up your cross. Lord, give me boldness to stand for you. And that's a privilege. Listen, sharing the gospel ought to be something exciting. Because the Lord is the one that brings conviction. And don't feel bad about this if that's not been the case, that maybe you haven't witnessed in a while where you open up the Bible and present the gospel truth. That is a work that God wants to do in our lives if we'll allow Him to.
Amen.
And so when we deal with people, we just want to ask them, and hey, listen, tell me, do you have any spiritual background? Do you have any spirituality about you? And let them tell you whatever it is they want to tell you. And they'll tell you, oh yes, and they could believe in who knows the craziest things in the world. But we're not to debate. See, my natural tendency would be to debate them. Oh no, that's not right. Oh no, don't do that. Just listen to them. Just listen to them. And then at the end, after they're all done, and maybe you'll listen to them for 5 minutes or more. And they'll give you the whole lowdown on what they believe. And then at the end of that, you and I get the privilege of asking them, if what you're believing is not the truth, would you like to know? If what you're believing is not the truth, because it's eternal, would you like to know? And I would dare say most people would say, yes, I would like to know.
Amen.
And if they say, no, I don't want to know, then don't tell them. But if they want to know, then say, let me show you what the Bible says. And today, we have the convenience of having the Bible on our phones. And we can go through the Romans Road. My little Bible on the phone, I can highlight my scripture. And I can pull up the Romans Road and I can turn it over to them and I can say, what does that say to you? Read that out loud to me, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so we can ask them to read it. And then we can say, what does that mean to you? Well, it means, and then if they don't get the right understanding of it, ask them to read it again. They're going to give you their time because they wanted to know, remember? They want to know. And you get to let them hear for themselves as they read the Word of God. They're not listening to you read it. They are reading it themselves. And guess what the Holy Spirit is doing? He's working in their lives.
Amen.
And then we share the Scriptures with them and they hear the words that they are reading out loud. And God will bring them to an understanding. If the understanding is incorrect, ask Him to read it again. And they'll read it again, and the Lord will give them that understanding. And you can lead them all the way to, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What does that mean? Well, it means that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Would you like to call upon the name of the Lord? And see if they don't want to call. Because the Holy Spirit, we step out of the way. See, you and I can't save anybody. But the Holy Spirit will do it.
Amen.
And so, listen, what better gift to our Savior, who's given us the greatest gift, than to be a witness for the glory of God and to tell the law. And what greater gift to the lost world.
Amen.
To have people tell them in love about salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is it that would keep us from witnessing? Fear? Fear of what? Rejection? Well, they rejected the Lord. We're in good company. I'm not saying you're not going to get rejected. There may be some of that. But wouldn't it be worth it if one person got saved?
Yes.
See, we can talk all about the lost all day long. Nothing's going to happen until we start talking to the lost. When we talk to the lost, and that means we witness to them, and we care about them, and we have compassion, and some having compassion making a difference. Isn't that important? That we might be the witnesses for. That's what it means to be a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. What was the Lord's business about? Why did He come? To seek and to what? To seek and to save that which was lost, right? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Shouldn't we be about our Father's business?
Yes.
By the grace and mercy of God? All right, so watch this. So He says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, following after the Lord, cannot be my disciple. Now, we're not talking about salvation here, but we are talking about being a faithful disciple, follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 28. For which one of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? So the Lord is saying, count the cost, isn't he?
Yes.
If you're really going to be my follower, count the cost, and are you paying the price? It's so easy to say, oh yeah, I believe all of that, but we're not really in the battle. We're not really looking to tell people about the Lord. That's where the battle's at. We're not really standing for the Lord Jesus Christ as he would have us to. Now, this is a choice that you have between you and the Lord. This is not anything between you and I. It's between us and the Lord, how we're going to walk. Lord, make me a faithful witness for your honor and glory. I want to please you. And I think there's nothing greater that would please the Lord than for us to be found faithfully following our Savior in his steps. So he says, count the cost. And then notice here, verse 29, lest happily after he hath laid the foundation, he is not able to finish it. And all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. And what we want to consider here is people who started. This is kind of like becoming they started, but they withdrew. Right. And what does the Lord say? A man having putting his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. If we put our hands on the plow and yes, this is the way. And then, I don't know that I can do that today. I don't know that that's convenient. I don't know what that's going to do to my reputation. I'm concerned about my standing in the world more than my standing before my God. That can cause us to shy away. Now, I think God wants us to be wise. There's a time for everything and a place for everything. And we certainly don't want to do anything when we're on the clock, if you will, working for somebody. But there is plenty of time when we're off the clock that we can strike up a conversation with people that would need to know about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Look at verse 31. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him and that cometh against him with 20,000, or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. So likewise, he's saying, we've got to be willing to pay the price. We have to be willing to deny ourselves. We have to be willing to get into the battle. Remember this morning in Sunday school class, I mentioned the world is not our playground. The world is the Christian's battlefield.
Amen.
We're at war with this world, as the Lord was at war with the world for the redemption of mankind, including us. Amen?
Amen.
That we would be saved. And so the Lord is serious when he's saying, if you're going to follow me, you cannot love anybody else more than me. And you have to forsake everything and be willing on top of that to carry the reproach or the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is where the real battle is at. And I would dare say this is probably not the most popular message that makes people feel all warm and fuzzy. Amen. But it's the truth. It's the word of God, and we have to decide what we want. We can tickle our ears with, fuzzy feelings, or we could just say this is what God is saying and what God is wanting that will make a difference in the world for the honor and the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
We cannot be the friend of the world and be the friend of God at the same time. Look at verse 33 again. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath. That means relationships. That means whatever we're seeking, whatever our goals, whatever our plans are. Yeah, even our plans, Lord, they're yours. Our plans. See, we can make up all kinds of plans. We can do all kinds of things and forget the Lord and miss out on what God wants for us. But Lord, we want to come to you first. So likewise, again, verse 33, whosoever he is of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. I didn't say that. Is that in your Bible? It's what the Lord said. Then he says this. Salt is good, but if salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? And the answer is it can't. It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. The Lord said that. You know what he's saying? It's worthless. You can't even put it on a dunghill. There's nothing you can, you know, sometimes when there's waste, you can salvage it and get some nutrients into the ground. He says, this is good for nothing. And the Lord was talking to his disciples and those who would follow after him. That's pretty serious. That's pretty strong. But each and every one of us every day have to decide who we're going to follow. Choose you this day whom you will serve.
Yes.
That's a daily decision, isn't it?
Yes.
Paul said he crucified the flesh daily. That was a decision he had to make. That's a decision you and I have to make also. Because, mark it down, if you and I do not keep the flesh in check before the Lord, the flesh will be leading us in the way of the flesh, in the way of the world. And maybe we're not like the world, but we certainly won't be like Christ. And so there's the battle right there that God reveals to us. And this is a serious message for people who want to be serious with the Lord.
Amen.
How do we want to walk with the Lord? Do we want to have this kind of commitment? And that's really what the Lord is asking for tonight, isn't he? Are we willing to be committed to our God?
Amen.
See, we're not just having a social gathering here. This is a commitment to our God when we meet together, isn't it? We want to draw near to him. We want to honor him. And I believe you do. We all do. But we need to be reminded, because it's in God's word, how to walk with him and how to follow him. And we should be reminded, listen, God is serious about our commitment with him. And he says, I want you to know, it's not a bed of roses. We don't do anybody any favors to say, oh, listen, become a Christian. It's the easiest thing you will ever do. Oh, no, it's not. No, the flesh has to be crucified. It will be the most difficult thing, but possible by the grace of God.
Amen.
That will take place. All right, very quickly, and we'll finish up here. The Pharisees murmuring, that won't take but a minute here in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 15. Then drew near, at that particular time, when the Lord was saying this to those that would follow him, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. That's a good thing. And now fathom that thought. The Lord just laid down the gauntlet on what it means to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He just laid it all out on the table for them to see for themselves. And the sinners and the publicans drew near to hear him. Isn't that good?
Yes.
You know why? Because the Lord was not excluding them. He was saying, anybody who will follow me. Isn't that good?
Amen.
And they heard that. Do you know that anybody in this world can be a follower, a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ if they want it? Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Beginning, of course, with salvation. And so now they draw near to him, and the Pharisees, they see this. They see the sinners and the publicans. Now the publicans, you know, they were the tax collectors, and I don't know what, you know, there was corruption that was involved. They were the ones that were working for the Roman government, collecting taxes. And so the Jewish people, especially the Pharisees, they didn't like them. All right. And they mocked them. They put them down. And so when they saw that these publicans and sinners were drawing near to the Lord, verse 2 says, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, listen to this. Listen, this man receiveth sinners. So he was receiving them. He was welcoming them, receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. Boy, what a great Savior you and I have.
Amen.
He was looking at the rejected individuals by those who were establishing their own righteousness, and the Lord was receiving them.
Amen.
And they saw that and got bent out of shape. They didn't like that. And notice what the Lord says here. And here's the Lord's parable and address right here. Verse 3, and he spake this parable unto them, all of them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
Think about this. You've got 99 sheep. What's one worth? Do you really want to hazard the trouble of going after that one sheep? God does.
Yes.
Isn't that great?
Amen.
God was willing to leave the 99. He could have just said, I'll just take my losses and go on. And fathom this thought. Ready? There are, I don't know how many angels, but there's a lot of angels.
Yes.
that worship the Lord.
Amen.
There are, aren't there?
Yes.
He doesn't need us, but he came after us.
Praise the Lord.
Isn't that good?
Yes.
He had the 99 worshiping him, countless, but he came after us.
Praise the Lord.
The one that went astray. The one that he said, and I don't understand this, he could not do without us. I mean, you and I know he can do without us, but in his heart, he could not do without us. That's why he died on the cross.
Amen.
Can you imagine that? God cannot do without you and I. That's why he died on the cross. When I say that, I'm saying God loved us so much, it was love that moved him to come into this world, knowing he would be rejected and despised, and went to the cross. Tell me any other God that would do that for that reason. There is no other faith, no other religion that teaches that truth. This is the truth, the only truth. And so notice this. And by the way, that sheep that we're talking about is a lost soul.
Yes.
And so notice in verse 5. And when he hath found it, look what he does. Look what the shepherd does. He layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. That sheep, when he's out there in the wilderness, he's away from the fellowship of the other sheep.
Yes.
Not only that, but he's out there in danger, in harm's way, and he's left open prey for the roaring lion to eat him.
Yes.
And so the Lord knew that, and he went out because of the love that he had for the lost sheep. That's
Amen.
Us. And then when he finds him or her, he puts him on his shoulders. What an intimate relationship. And takes him back into the fold. Notice what it says here. Verse 6, and when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.
Amen.
And does this mean heaven? Verse 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over the 99 just persons which need no repentance. Isn't that good? God has a special relationship with you and I that he does not have with the angels. We are his redeemed ones.
Amen.
I don't understand it, but there is no redemption for the angels. That's why the fallen ones will always be demons that followed after Satan. But you and I have a special place in the heart and mind and in the plan of God.
Amen.
He is worthy of our love, is he not? Last illustration here that the Lord gives us here. Verse 8. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? One piece. One piece. Sometimes you just got to cut your losses and just keep the best that you have. She didn't lose the 9. She just lost the 1. Aren't you glad God didn't cut his losses? That one was important, and he came after the one until he found it. Verse 9, and when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me. This is the Lord saying this, for I have found the peace which I had lost. What is this analogy all about? Verse 10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now I want you to stop and just think. I've mentioned this before, but I want to mention this again. I do believe the angels are rejoicing, but I want you to know this is God that's rejoicing. Read that verse again in verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence. That means it's not coming from the angels, but it's coming from the Lord. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth, because it's God that's rejoicing. I'm not saying there's not joy in the angels, but I'm telling you, God rejoices when one comes home to him.
Amen.
Is not he the one that carried the lamb on his shoulders when he found it, the lost soul?
Yes.
And he saw to it that he brought it back into his fold. And so tonight, God's heart and mind is that he is for repentance because of he wants to bring restoration and redemption to the whole world. And he seemed fit to allow you and I to be disciples for the honor and glory of the Lord if we want it. This is extra on top of salvation. You can be my faithful follower. You can be one that I would use for my honor and glory. And it's the Lord's plan, and it's privilege, and it's also his privileged position for each and every one of us.
Amen.
So we want to honor the Lord by allowing him to have his will and way in each and every one of our lives. And it's our choice. He doesn't force it on any one of us. He says, choose you this day. Can we trust the Lord? Can we trust him to guide us to do his will?
Yes.
Do we have anything really to be afraid of and fear? No. And so if we'll just seek the Lord, he will show us the way. That's his word, right? He will show us his way if we'll seek him. So tonight, we must seek the Lord with all of our heart, mind, and soul that we would be a faithful disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to be a faithful disciple. How about you? For the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you stand as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word that you give us tonight. We thank you for your direction and your understanding and your wisdom. May you guide us into that we would grow in a greater way in our relationship with you and draw nearer to you, and you'll draw nearer to us. Guide us every step of the way, Lord, that we would have no fear in this life, but complete confidence in you and what you want to do in and through us. Bless the invitation. Bless each one, Lord. Bless Northwood for your honor and glory and all of your churches. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.